This is attorney Anthony Push with the Push & Win Law Firm. We get big results on even the most unlikely of cases. Give us a call today at 833-PUSH-WIN.
Or visit us online at pushwin.com. That's P-U-S-H-W-I-N.com.
We push, you win.
Yay,
Raw
Feeders!
Feed is on.
It's Monday, May 24th of 2021, real time. And it's the show after the show that we like to gift you every single week. It's Rule, Ryan, Eric, and Sam. Kevin's out still with his mom visiting in town. He's taking her around. You know, there was a funny meme I saw over the weekend, guys, on Instagram. Maybe it was a, what is it called when they mirror it to Instagram from TikTok? Whatever it was. Anyway, and it was basically a Greek-American guy who says, me, every time one of my American friends tells me he's going to visit Greece for the first time and they want pointers. And it's like furiously typing all this information. It's kind of like the same thing. Like if you have family coming to Houston for the first time, it's like, what are some things we can do? And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my list together.
I get that with bourbon. People, listeners, which I love, you guys care enough about me to take the time to reach out. But like, hey, Eric, what, you know, especially the holidays, like what's a great bourbon under $50? Or I feel guilty though. It's like Rule always says, it's like when you tell someone about a movie or a book or anything, you really want them to love it or you feel like a loser.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You feel the pressure.
It's always
For Kevin, he's got his family in town. His mom's from the East Coast, and she's here. You know, she's been here many times, but he wanted to show her something new. You know, like what's something they haven't done. So they went to the river, to tube down the river. But, you know, for me, I've been a born and bred Texan. I've never done that ever in my life.
That's crazy.
And from him telling me what it is, it's like a poop pool. I don't know.
No.
He hasn't painted the picture very nicely.
I mean, it's fun. We started doing that when we were kids, going down to Guadalupe. And
but it's high now, though, right? Remember a few years ago, it was so low, you couldn't even do it?
Yeah, you never want to do it in August because usually there's like such a drought that the water's barely moving. And if you do it in August, it's going to take you like all day to get
down. Those like, what are those things, the snakes and the Nutella things are out there?
Oh, you'll see a lot. Like, I mean, I saw swamp rats and stuff like that on the sides.
Nutella, or what are they called?
Nutria.
That's a chocolate substitute. No, my
I
favorite
hope to God
story.
There's no Nutria in my Nutella.
You see that floating down the water? That's not Nutella.
Obviously, Nightmare. If you've got, okay, so you've got your tube and you've got like a tube with a cooler in the middle of it, you know, tied to one of you guys, and you go down, you just basically drink all day going down the river. But you obviously got to get rid of some of that. So people pee in the river nonstop. You just jump out and you pee while
you're getting sunburn as hell, I bet, all over your
stomach.
Yeah, you got
to take your suntan lotion. But the worst ever, I mean, and I've told this story to embarrass my brother because I'm going to pay him back. My baby brother, Kevin, it's like I took him and my other brother. We were tubing. And he goes, dude, you were looking so relaxed. Your head was cocked back, you know, and your arms are out. And you're like in a Jesus pose on the inner tube, just sunbathing and floating down. And he goes, and I watched one of my turds go right by your face.
Oh, my God. Oh,
he crapped in the river.
Ew.
And I'm like, you son of a bitch. He pooped in the river. He was right behind me on the tube or right ahead of me.
So what do you mean? So he, this is what I understand, guys.
He
you
dropped
have to remove your shorts. Where? And he's in the tube, though. There's no bottom.
Yeah.
You can't reach the bottom, right? So how are you doing
that? I guess it's like a toilet. You're
removing your unders?
Yeah,
without anybody seeing you?
He pulled down the bottom of his shorts and just like pooped in the river. And then he said, hey, he goes, I was laughing so hard. So is my brother Doug. You know, my brother, we're both with me. He goes, we're both laughing so hard. You're looking like you're all Mr. Cool Sunbather, Mr. Fancy Guy with his cool shades and laying back. And there's my turd going right by your face. And I'm like,
throw up. That is so
son of a bitch.
Guys. That is so gross.
That was 15 years ago, and I still can't forgive him.
You have to get revenge
on
him someday.
I'm saying, you're not painting a very nice picture of wanting to go tubing down the river. Gross.
Yeah. They shouldn't hire you to be the
I'd rather just skip.
Marketing department.
100%.
Look, I'm sorry. If you're in the river and you're partying and drinking for 6 to 7 hours,
are there places to stop along the way and like get out and maybe get buy ice or use the restroom? Are there little porta potties at least? Like every mile or so?
We always left from the Rockin' R, which was a campground. And no, I don't recall. I mean, it's been a long
just
time.
Just thinking about that makes me go, no bathrooms, I can't go.
If there's no bathroom, I'm not comfortable.
I would recommend that you poop before you go tubing and don't do it. My brother
did you guys
me.
See the thing that things that make anymore. People stop and say, holy crap, I'm old?
Oh, yeah. I saw
BuzzFeed. Just saw one
about
line
graduates
that was.
And stuff like
go down
that.
The list.
This is the one that's funny. Man, my old moment was when I started buying my clothes at Costco. That's when you.
Oh, yeah.
I have a shirt that I got. My wife bought me at Costco. It's like a golf, like a the collar. What do you call those shirts? Golf
like
shirts, I call them.
Shirts.
Like a polo
shirt.
But I've never worn it because I'm like, I know I'm going to run into like four other guys with the same shirt. So It just sits in my closet.
I never bought clothes at Costco until last year. I bought a jacket because it was really cold and I needed one that's not like super thick for the extra crazy freezing days, but one that's a little like more substance than just the jackets that I wear. So I was inside Costco and I was like, that one actually kind of looks nice. Let me try it. Y'all, I have seen that jacket like 17
times.
Yeah,
everyone has it.
I'm like, oh my God, that jacket. So you're not the only one buying clothes at Costco if that many people wear it.
The one I've noticed is when you like have to scroll for your birth date, the year.
Now, to be 21, like they check your ID. Like, as long as they see,
if they
see a 1-9, they know you're old enough because 2021, this is the year. If you were born in 2000, you are old enough to drink.
Yeah.
So they don't. If they see 19 on your, they don't have to look at the other number. If they see the 1-9,
I'm just at 86 now. Crap, I still got to roll a little bit more.
That was the worst though. Like when it's like I've got my favorite. You know, I go to my pharmacy at Kroger. And the lady behind the counter, she's so cute and so sweet to me and everything. I thought, maybe there's a little flirtation thing happening there. And she goes, oh, what's your date of birth, Ryan? And I gave it to her, and all of a sudden the flirting stopped.
She's
like, damn, you're old.
How about this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
This person's old moment was that they now want seated tickets at concerts. They don't want to be in the pit.
Yeah.
They want to be in general admission. They want actual chairs they can sit in.
I'm kind of in that category. You know, I've broken my nose in a mosh pit before, and it's like, yeah. I'm over those days. I don't want to go back to them.
Even on the lawn.
If people saw you in there, they'd be like, no. The lawn. When you were like 22, you did not care. As long as you were in there at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion, you're like, oh, cool. As long as I'm in, I'm good. I'll sit on the lawn. It's awesome. Hacky sacks and blankets.
If you're in the lawn, you were drunk and high and you didn't care. And now
was
that
one from this BuzzFeed about things that make people stop and say, man, I am old. I was on a drive. I found a radio station that was playing a song I really loved in high school. After the station break, it said, we're the local oldie station. Oh, crap.
Oh.
I'm old.
Okay, I just had a revelation. Here's how I guess. I mean, does this make us old or just makes us adults? There was a very, very famous scene from a movie called Fried Green Tomatoes where the actress playing, Kathy Bates was playing a character where she was waiting for a parking spot. And right as the parking spot emptied and she was about to turn in, these two blonde girls, like really young blonde girls, they just slipped right in there. And then she goes, hello, I was waiting for that spot. And they go, well, we're young and fast. You got to get faster, old lady.
Ooh.
And then she was like so mad, she slams into their car to push it out of the parking spot. And they're like, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And she goes, no, I'm older and I can afford more insurance. And I was like, now I feel like, oh my God, I finally get what that means now to actually have like solid insurance you're not sweating over. I can afford my insurance payment. Where when I was younger, I'd be like, oh my God, okay, my car payment plus my insurance. And the gas.
It's true.
Like, it's fine. It's just a payment I got to make every month now versus sweating over it.
How about this one? I officially felt old when I could no longer distinguish high school students from college age students. That's pretty much how they all look the same to me now. That is true, man. I look at my niece. She's going to be a sophomore now at UT.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, you're in college. You look like you should be in like a junior in high school or something.
Yeah, they all look like babies to me.
Okay, here's a thought.
They all have that same shirt, that long shirt. I'm like, are you wearing pants?
I know. You cannot see if they're wearing shorts.
Of course I'm wearing bottoms.
Okay, so here's a thought I just had as we are sitting here talking about this. What things that make you feel old or sound old, I guess you don't realize it. If you tell a child that you didn't have, like, cell phones weren't around when we were kids. Okay, now it's aging you because there are people who are 21 that when they were kids, there were cell phones. Maybe they weren't smartphones, but they were cell phones. So then it really ages you when you say, yeah, see? Like, cell phones weren't around when we were kids. Oh, yeah, you're old.
My daughter asked me last night. I took her to dinner and she's like, what did you guys do about this with your cell phones? I'm like, honey, I didn't have a cell phone until Ethan was born, like 98. I think 97 I got one.
Yeah, I got my first cell phone in 1996. So, I mean, my God, that's 25 years ago. So if you say, I remember a time before cell phones, and that's like when my parents, my grandfather would say, oh, we didn't have television back in the day. We just had to get around the radio. And I'm like, okay, whatever, pops, you know.
It makes me wonder, how do we
they're thinking about us.
And that's why it's like, I feel like Gen X were a stronger generation because we survived without the cell phone. We've seen both.
We had both.
But we would go out, like I would party in the storms and thunder and winter storms in Chicago. And I didn't have a phone. I'd be driving home at 1 a.m. if I
hell,
get in the
parents
ditch.
Would drop me.
In the country, there's nobody there. I would have died.
You could have been dead. Our parents would drop us off. I would never do it. My parents dropped me off my first Kiss concert at the Sam Houston Coliseum, which
was
a violent shithole is what that place was. It was not a good place. And they just dropped us. I had no cell phone. I'll be back to pick you. We'll find you at midnight or whatever.
Sam probably had that ladybug phone. What was that phone, Rilla?
Firefly. It was a Firefly.
Ladybug,
you can only make 911 calls and calls to your parents. Did you ever hear that one, Sam?
No, I didn't have that. I had like the knockoff, you know, Razor and flip phone.
Razor,
Sidekick.
That's too expensive.
But if
I got
you
my
think
crazier.
About the generational divide between us and our kids versus our parents and us, is I mean, like I've explained this to my daughter many, many times. It's like my mom and dad had all the same things I had growing up. They had television, they had radio, they had cable, and it's like, but the difference between me and you is so different because could you imagine a world without the internet? Could you imagine a world without cell phones?
Do you think 2005 was like the time
of social media
when Facebook was open to everybody and then the iPhones were coming out?
2005, people didn't get on that, Eric, at 2005. People really jumped on Facebook like 2000. I know.
The kids were on it.
The college kids were on it, but we're talking about as many people now? No. I remember when the Virginia Tech shooting happened and we were talking about that on the air, I mentioned Facebook because I said that is the primary way that college kids are communicating with each other. Not everybody has a Facebook. I think it's mostly for college kids. I remember saying that on the air when the Virginia Tech shootings happened. And then after that, like I remember it was 2009, I got married. And that's just like, I remember when I got engaged, my sister put that on Facebook. And then I was thinking, well, that's weird because I didn't post it. You posted it, but nobody's really on this, so it doesn't matter. Quote, nobody's really on this, so it doesn't matter. She was one of the first people to tell me in 2007 to join Facebook. What the hell is this scam crap you want me to get on? Like, I didn't want my information out there.
When did you get on, Sam? Did you get on during college or high school for Facebook?
Yeah, I got on like in high school, which was like, well, 2010 is when I graduated high school. So, I mean, along those years.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So were you already, so in high school, were you on Facebook? Or was that more for college kids still, even in your eyes?
That was definitely like college kids. In high school, I think MySpace was really big. And then when I got into college, it was definitely Instagram. That is my platform.
Whatever happened to Tom?
He's rich. So that was our thing. Remember at first, Phoenix kept telling us, guys, you gotta get on Instagram. We're like, we're just getting on Twitter, doing Twitter now. We're building that up.
Oh, no, we've been on Twitter since 2008.
I remember telling Phoenix, I cannot get on Instagram because not everything I have to say has a picture attached to it.
We didn't care for the pictures.
Yeah, I was like, not everything I'm posting needs to have a picture, so I'm not going to get on Instagram yet.
Like, I don't
had
get any
the
traction.
Instagram, but I didn't actually use my Instagram.
I don't get much traction on Twitter.
No, not
compared
at all.
To like Instagram, all of a sudden I'll just get like, I took a photo last night at producer Eric, my daughter and I at dinner. And all of a sudden, boom, just started getting hundreds and hundreds of.
Oh, yeah. If I put a picture on Twitter,
likes.
I might
Twitter,
get like
not two.
I might get like 40 likes max. And the same picture can be on Instagram. And it's like, you know,
I go to Twitter as my news source. That's what's sad. I go
yeah, that's
and,
pretty much it.
And when I say news source, I mean just to see what's going on in like sports.
No,
and,
I think Instagram sums up just how we become. Instagram's more about the visual. Everybody's way more narcissistic on Instagram. Twitter was more
about
like.
And if there's not a picture, people skip. Something. They just skip. They're like, I don't want to read text. What?
That reminds me. So Mark's friends from college, they don't follow my career path. And they kept asking like, Mark, who are these guys on Sam's Instagram page?
Oh, Booster and Kev? Oh, no.
Yeah, like all the pictures of us, you know, in the bathing suit, in the beach, my stories, like all of us without Mark in them.
Oh, on the beach? In the beach and your bikinis and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point, though. What'd he say?
Because a lot of my friends don't follow the journey of the radio industry, so they don't know who I'm hanging out with. And he's like, oh, you know, it's fine. Like, she works with them, you know? That's her coworker, and they're not straight.
Yeah, they don't like girls. They like me more than they like her.
They only friend me to get to him.
Yeah.
I feel like you just don't think about this kind of stuff because it's like, you know, this Instagram, a lot of our listeners follow it at Slam Given. And a lot of my friends from back home don't follow my career in radio. So, whoops.
You need to do one for Gay Pride Month.
Yeah, for sure. Totally be down.
With them. Like go to the parade and just put it up there. That way your friends know. Because how do you do it? You can't put, these are my friends who are gay. You know, no one does that anymore.
Yeah, you can't say gay best friend.
If you have to put that in there.
I just didn't think about it. Because I'm like, you guys all know them. It's Kevin B. I didn't think I had to explain it. And everybody knows that Mark's my husband, so.
That's true. Good point. I never thought of that.
Yeah, that's true.
If you Slam Given, by the way. Is there
say again?
Slam Givens
or Instagram.
Slam Givens. I was trying to find while you were talking the video of SNL's thing about Gay Pride Weekend this year.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to be ready with... Did y'all see that by chance? Anyway,
yeah.
Google it. SNL's Pride Weekend hilarity about now that they can actually get together. They're excited.
All you straight people are annoying.
But it's all the negatives of getting together. It's just kind of funny. Anyway, you were saying, Ryan?
No, I mean, if you have to put in, this is my blank fill in the blank friend, then they're not really your friend. If they're really your friend, you just say, this is my friend.
But you don't want to make... That's what's weird, though. You don't want to make yours.
I wouldn't have to. Like, if I post a picture, like, here's my black friend. Here's my gay friend. Here's my Latina friend. They're just your friend. You don't have to write any of that stuff. That's just ridiculous. They're not your friend.
No, but the reason
you have to put that in there.
But for a friend that could be, they could think you're with them romantically.
Cheating on your husband.
Yeah, that's.
You guys are my gay best friend. We're going to half naked together because he's gay. It's okay.
Have any of you guys ever.
It's a little different.
On my Facebook is just my family and a few close friends. And have any of you guys ever looked at somebody's post and like, man, they're definitely cheating on their mate? When you see some of their posts, you're like, I'm like, man, they're partying way too much without their spouse.
I guess you could probably pick that. Yeah, if you start seeing them like all of a sudden out on a weekend, I guess. I never noticed that, but I guess you could.
Or they're in bikinis and they're with guys that aren't their husband.
What are you trying to say? I do that with Kevin B all the time, every weekend.
But you're still like flexing and all that. And actually, to the point of, yes, I understand it's wrong to say GBF now. Like, that's the new thing. Like, be more aware about gay best friend. That also was the way you would title somebody. Because think of, like, shows as far back as My So-Called Life with Claire Danes. That's the first time we learned of the gay best friend. Mean Girls has the two people that originally got Katie Heron to go after the plastics, even though they didn't... You know, obviously it was the gay best friend with the other girl who was the outcast, and they were the ones that were playing using Katie as the pawn, right? So yep. It kind of like gives a characterization to that person. And if Sam, like we said, if Sam doesn't clarify to her friends, oh, those guys are gay, it's fine. If it was just two hetero guys who were with her in her bikini all the time.
Right, right.
They'd be like, how come Marcus?
But even if that was, I mean, if you trust your mate.
My thing is, if my wife did that with two guys that were straight...
Like, if you took those photos with Ryan and myself, even then, should they be people, I mean, you're just friends.
Well, they're gonna see you and me, and they're like, there's no way she's cheating on Mark.
Exactly, that's true. But you know what I mean?
Guys, Eric, have said a million times that straight men cannot be friends with straight women because they're always thinking about what they look like naked or they want to do something with them. So we as women would have to clarify, oh, this is my gay best friend.
If they're not attracted,
or if you're always in half naked bikini pictures,
I think you only do
them.
That at the beginning. Right. Once you become like with you guys, we love working with you guys, hanging out, but we don't think that way about you two.
Not that you're going to tell us.
I mean, maybe back in the day.
We don't want to know.
Guys.
I mean, when you're in a relationship, you either trust that person. If you don't,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If you trust them, then you shouldn't be in it.
Yeah, or taking photos.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the sexy time, let me throw it to this raw feed hot topic, you know, rated X topic. Right under the story that we were talking about, holy crap, when did you realize you were old because your high school, you know, graduation song
came on
the
station. Should we say the name of it at the beginning? I'm going to guess what you're going to say.
You know, because you're the one that sent it to me.
But I'm just wondering, I don't have the order. I have one I grabbed. I'm just wondering if it's the same story.
It's the only X-rated topic you sent me today.
Same time, we'll say the same thing. It's the headline. 3, 2, 1, go.
Porn industry secrets.
Yep. Yeah. Look at the last one. The second to last one on the bottom.
Lay them on me. Let's hear
it. A lot of MILFs in porn are not actually mothers. Shocker. Do men actually think they are?
Yes, they have
to be. That's not a shocker at all. That's not an industry secret.
The other one.
The one about this is going to ruin any guy now.
This is what I heard.
It's going to ruin you guys. Okay. It says industry secret of the pornograph of making porn. The slapping sound that you hear is not the actual act. It's somebody in post-production slapping a couple of boneless and skinless chicken breasts together.
Oh, that's so funny.
Ew.
Does anyone have any chicken in their house? Go try it. Let's see.
No. Oh, my God. I'm looking at this thing now. It says every porn set smells like sweat and shit.
Oh, my God. Doesn't that ruin the whole?
Most of the extremely large penises seen on the screen during pornographic movies are either fake or obtained via a pump, which
I tell myself
myth the pump But is that not a myth that the pump can do that? Like,
I would feel really, look, I mean, I would feel really ridiculous if I'm in a sexual situation. Wait a second, let me get this pump out and start, like, blowing it up like a bicycle tire.
But you're not doing that in real life. You're doing that for work.
But it's a work job. It's a job.
Yeah, Sam, years ago, I want to say, like, 2006, maybe 2007, there was a series on HBO that all of us had watched, and it was called Pornucopia. Like a cornucopia.
Yeah.
It was called Pornucopia, and it basically was what we call now like a Netflix docuseries on the pornography industry and how it started. I mean, it would absolutely be on Netflix now. That's how people would consume it. And it was like, I don't know how many episodes, two or three maybe. But you know the porn star Jenna Jameson, you heard of her name,
yes,
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, Jenna Jameson made it so clear and just laid it all out there. She goes, listen, the number one thing she cannot stand is when she meets a guy who's watched her films in real life and they're like, oh, I would just love to do a movie with you. And then she goes, okay, unzip your pants right now. Get it hard right now. And you're going to go for 30 minutes straight without stopping right now. And you're going to be giant. Go ahead. Let me see it now. Now.
And there's 20 people watching you.
And there's 20 people watching you. And they're like, hurry up. We have lunch. Let's finish this scene.
She
like,
met she said, me.
There's nothing sexy about being a porn star.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just really interesting how she said people come to her all the time like, oh, yeah, I could totally work with you. She says, no, you can't. No, you can't. There's the reason why there's barely any men in the industry.
And they don't
get paid very
much.
It's always the same guy, and they're not paid jack crap.
If you want to watch, there's a movie called After Porn. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
And it really is. Sam, you watched it too. It was very sad.
Sam has watched everything.
I like weird shows. Yeah. It was really sad.
It was very, very sad and how some of their lives and some of these porn stars.
Well, their lives begin sad. Most of them, like, strip.
They got into it because of a bad situation. Yeah. Nobody's like, you know, hey, I just graduated from a preparatory school and I'm going to go to Harvard, but instead I choose porn. That does not happen.
Like the dancer we had on last raw feed, Christina. She had drug issues at the beginning.
Yep. In high school, she was already on the drugs. Yeah, she was homeless when she started stripping.
Everything in life, back to what I was saying this morning on the show, everything in life is cause and effect. It's like whenever I see something that is turned up, someone has turned
every
up
day
with a really messed up life, you're like, something had to have happened in that
had
life.
To.
Something was a catalyst that made them go down that path.
My daughter keeps asking if she can walk like with her friends certain areas around our area.
Uh-huh.
And my wife and I are like, no, we'll drive you to these places. Like, you can go, and we'll.
Yeah.
I don't want you walking with your friends. Except, will it be like me and my friend? I'm like, I don't know if that friend could leave you. I don't know. Some van pulls up. That's all it takes. I told her,
abducted, sold into
world. If something happened
slavery
to you, my wife, our marriage would probably be over because we'd be mad at each other. Or you couldn't handle the pressure.
Tear you all apart.
Anything that happens to you, it's not worth it. I'm sorry.
I mean, having a missing child is worse than the child being dead because you never know.
There's
what's
no closure.
Yep.
And Eric, take it from me, who was a 13-year-old girl, who was the one that you could trust. Even the girls I thought I could trust,
really?
The ones that I thought were just like me, something happens to them when you're by yourselves and you're given like a get out of the house free card. Like, you're like, oh, okay. I mean, girls that I absolutely would convince my parents there's no way they'll ever do anything bad. Those are the girls that want to sneak out of the house at midnight and go walk down along the bayou and go meet boys. I'm like, what in the hell? That's in today's world, that's sex trafficking and kidnapping just waiting to happen.
Yep.
So no, you are right to tell your daughter, I know it sucks that I'm telling you no. I know you think it's just down the street, but I have so many millions of reasons why the answer is no. It's just
Crime Stoppers.
Happen.
I should have her talk to Rania.
Yeah, just have her look at anything Crime Stoppers does. And
but I don't want to be scared their whole life either, too, though, because my mom scared me and I wouldn't do things.
Yeah.
That's a fine line.
Sometimes
you always
sometimes
say
your
that,
parents can scare and guilt you to the point where they stunt you.
That Finding Nemo quote you always say?
Well, you can't let anything happen to him because nothing's going to happen to him.
Yeah, isn't it
Dory tells Marlin, you can't let anything happen to him because then nothing's going to happen to him.
It's true.
Yeah.
And there is a fine line. You got to just kind of go with your thing. Like, look at me. Y'all, the other day I was telling my daughter, okay, I went to that second wedding. We had two weddings on Saturday night I mentioned on the air today, if you're listening real time. And the second wedding reception, when we got there, my kids had already gone to that wedding with my sister and my brother-in-law. So when I got to the wedding reception, My 10-year-old was so excited to see us that she came running to us and she was hugging me so hard with her head down. I just thought she was excited, but she was actually crying. And then I go, wait, are you crying? Why are you crying? And then my sister goes, it was just a lot of buildup. It was a lot of buildup asking when you guys are getting here, when you guys are getting here. And so last night I talked about to her about, like, how come you got so upset when mommy and daddy came to the wedding reception? And she was, because I just missed you guys. And I was like, but you're the little girl that I put on a plane at 7 years old by yourself without mommy and daddy to go to Greece with Yaya and your sister. I mean, and my sister.
Yeah, you did that.
Like, maybe you didn't even flinch. And when I would call you, you didn't even want to talk to me. You were seven. You didn't even care that you'd been in Greece without mommy and daddy for 6 weeks. And you didn't even care when I was on the phone. And then she's like, well, I don't know. I just missed you. It's just kind of funny how they kind of ebb and flow that way with different emotions, I guess.
Yeah, so when we went to that wedding a couple of years ago, my daughter told us this week, like, I just cried every night because they stayed at my sister's house in Chicago. She's like, I cried every night. I missed you guys. I'm like, what? You don't act that way. I didn't think you'd miss us for a week. I guess it's good as a parent. You want them to miss you, but.
Well, doesn't every kid go through some kind of crazy phase? I don't know what the age is, because it definitely happened to me, where you just think, like, your parents are going to die and you're going to be an orphan. Yeah. Like, do you watch some movie or something that makes you think that?
That never happened to me.
No? Not even like divorce? How about divorce?
No.
Did you worry they divorce each other?
I mean, if they did, I figured it would all work out. My parents have always, like, whatever happens in life, it'll all work out, no matter what. Like, when they went on vacation, and they told me that they had, like, their will or whatnot, and they talked about leaving Connor to me in the will. And I was like, wait, what? I mean, and I was,
Was your brother mad? Your older brother mad?
To be honest, I don't know if he knows.
I was
18 and my parents were going away, and here I am watching an 8-year-old, and they're telling me, mm-hmm. like, oh, if I die, you will have to watch your brother, and there's other things taken care of, blah, blah, blah. But, like, that just, I didn't live in fear. I just thought, you know, well, they'll come back. It'll be fine.
So then how do you deal with it, Sam, like real life, if something tragic does strike in your life, if you lose somebody, like if you lose a loved one tragically and mm-hmm. unexpectedly, do you have like a total, you know, like the normal road most people take, like crying and sadness and the what if someone, or are you just like, okay, well, that was just God's plan? How do you handle death?
Like, for instance, with my pop-pop and him passing, he was my last living relative alive in the sense of like being my last grandparent, because I never met my dad's parents, and my mom's mom passed away when she was in high school, so I have a step grandmother, which I appreciate. She is my grandmother, but she's not blood. My pop-up was my last grandparent, and I think the thing that was just hardest for me was just not being in Pennsylvania to help my mom. You know, like at his funeral, I was crying because that was my last.
Your mom was sad.
Yeah, because my mom was sad, and because that was like my last goodbye to him. And, you know, parts of me kind of feel guilty that I'm not in Pennsylvania to be there, but it's more just for my mom. Like, I just want to make sure that my mom is okay. You know, I cried and I got over it. Like,
I've definitely cried for people. I can see that. I cry for people. Like, I get really emotional at funerals when I see the family that's hurting so much.
Rule and Ryan, you guys don't realize how lucky you are to be doing this show here. Like,
with your family?
I realize it, honey.
If,
man.
If I could do this in Chicago, like, to be with my family. And the sacrifices I made to not be around my everything. I see my family doing everything on social media together and reunions. I'm like, man, I love it.
But you guys are lucky.
Your family all lives here.
Yeah, well, I did three years in Philly doing mornings where I couldn't come home for Thanksgiving and I didn't come home for Christmas 1 year for
so
whatever
you got
reason.
Here, you're like, this is so much better.
Yeah, the only negative with doing the show here when I first started is that you can't really be as free and with the information because too many people don't know you're listening.
I understand what you're saying, Eric. Like, one of the toughest times ever was when my grandmother died about 6 years ago, and I flew up there, and I was actually one of the pallbearers. I carried her coffin, and my dad had passed away before she did, and I'd seen her the year before. She was she had dementia. So, and just to see all the remaining siblings, my dad was one of 9 children, and he was the first to go.
You kind of missed them all, right? You missed, like, cousins. You didn't see them grow up as much, nieces and mm-hmm. nephews.
Yeah, and that's what got me on Facebook. I was never on Facebook. I was like, Facebook's, you know, it's for old people, blah, 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 blah. You know, I didn't want to do Facebook, but I got on Facebook because I reconnected. Well, I mean, I was. At the time, you know, it was like Twitter and Instagram was the only thing. I was, believe it or not, joined Facebook before or after all those other things.
Yeah.
Just so I could stay in touch, but I mean, I broke down, and I mean, I wept so much at that funeral, like, and just because I remember it was a different life growing up with all, I mean, I was part of a big, giant Irish Catholic
family.
Well,
it's also the closing of a book. I mean, that was like probably the matriarch of your family. Yeah. And it's not just you. That was probably all the flood of memories of all the happy family youth, you know, moments you had, right?
Yeah. And then the family home, my aunt, my godparents, Mary and Terry. Terry died 2 years ago, and I went up for his funeral. That's sad. It's the only time I go up is for when somebody dies.
Don't you feel bad? To, hopefully there'll be weddings in that in the future.
Right. She's still living in that house. It's been our family home for almost 100 years. And, like, I just want to make sure that that home stays in the family. Like, you know.
Have someone carry it on.
She can no longer take care of that big house, that I want it to stay in the family.
The problem is also, but you couldn't live there. Like, you can make a living at that there.
You wouldn't have done the same thing.
What I've always wanted to do, because like the house was built in the 1840s. This is an old house. It's weird. Like, when I got to, so my grandmother, I buried her right next to my father. And this was, like, the most bizarre, difficult passing, because when my dad died, I got two plots right in front of where his parents were, and my grandfather had already been long dead, and my grandmother was going to be buried next to him. So they started doing the sonar, and there was a John Doe in the spot where she was going to be buried. Hmm. And they're like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? So they...
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean the sonar? I've never been to I've never buried a family member where they had to sonar the ground.
Yeah, they were checking the grounds, and there was a John Doe that was there, and they didn't know who he belonged to, but he was in the spot where she was going to be. So my dad's grave is like right next to, I mean, like 5 feet away from my, it's the very next grave over next to where my grandparents were. I had bought the plot next to my dad also, so I had two plots there. And luckily, had I not owned that plot, there was nowhere to put her, so we put her in that plot. And when they dug her, dug that ditch up, I had buried my father myself. He was in an urn, and they dug it up, and they thought they dug him up. And I'm like, oh my God, no.
Because it's too close to it?
Yeah, and they couldn't find my dad. And I am. I'm jumping down into this six-foot grave with the guy, and we're using the sonar equipment. We finally found my dad. It was fucking horrible. I mean, you know, I thought my dad was gone. Mm. And so then we buried her, and it's like everything happens for a reason. I was meant to have owned that second plot. And that way she was able to be next to her husband and her son. And it was just like...
Lucky.
It was heavy. I mean, that's a heavy thing to process, man. And it's just... it's sad.
In Pennsylvania, they don't have a lot of rules in that graveyard letting you get in that six-foot hole. I think there's too much liability in Texas to let you get in there.
Okay, they put cement in between. Don't they put barriers in there? Like that?
Yeah. But this is an old cemetery. Like, literally, like, two or three gravestones down, there's people from the Civil War buried next to my dad. There's like no rhyme or reason, but Sam never heard this. It's like my dad and I were really tight at the end, and he said, I don't want anybody to see me going to the ground. He goes, it's kind of morbid. I don't want a big graveside funeral. So I buried him myself. Like, I paid the gravedigger. I gave him, I slipped him some money. I said, let me do this. And I had the tools, and I dug the grave myself and buried him myself. And then packed the ground.
Ryan slipped is him some control money. Freak. Even that, yep. He control freak.
Slipped him some money.
Money and control.
Move over, gravedigger. I think what your dad meant, maybe, if I listened to that as a layman person, is like, he doesn't want the family to be traumatized.
I know, but
the gravedigger, he didn't care about that guy.
Ryan, get out there physically dig like it.
Felt like it was the last thing I could do for him. You know, it was like the final gift I could give my dad.
So there's a lot of going on in this raw feed, and something that I've been thinking about a lot is
from porn to death.
Do you think they? They started like with like ribs and stuff to slap before the chicken. Like, how did they get to the sound of the sex?
Stop it!
Oh, the sound effects. Well, goes
do you think they worked their way up? Like the guy had a tuna sandwich.
Make noise like that if you put two like pork ribs
that are
raw.
Think about it. It's got a bone in it, so you think
it started in the golden age of radio. They would do these radio plays. People would have coconut shells on the desk to make a horse clip clop. So people have always been doing sound effects.
I'm just wondering, like, what did they start with? Like, the guy had a tuna sandwich. He's eating it. He's like, oh.
Well, it's not smell-o-vision.
No, stop.
Sorry.
I guess you have to go to the mechanics of making the movie happen.
It sounds like a funny parody, though, like Zach, what's his name, Galifianakis, whatever.
Galifianakis.
Galifianakis.
You could do a parody like he's the, I'm the sound
guy. Who's
the
porn sound effect guy?
Yeah. Actually, they do have that, I think. I saw on TikTok, the guy's the porn, he's behind the scenes, he makes all the noises.
And here's a question, Eric. And I don't think we'll ever get this answer. But you know how, like, soap stars kind of get pigeonholed into being a soap star, so they don't really get real roles. They always get soap star roles.
Yep.
So if you work in the behind the scenes of on a pornography set and you're, like, the gaff guy or the boomer guy or whatever, can you not cross over into, like, A-list movies? Be like, well, tell us what movies you worked on. Well, I worked on, you know, Saving Ryan's Private.
Romance in the Bone. Yeah.
And all that stuff.
The Terminator. Boink. Oh, my God. I got an award for that one.
So, like, Army is of the it, like, Dick? Some kind of thing
Zombie
you
dicks.
Can't cross over?
Oh, yeah.
I really know how to slap two slabs of ribs together to make it sound like some hot sex.
If you guys need that.
Isn't it funny, though?
Here's a trick.
I think they got a lie on the resume on that one.
When they do those award shows for the porn industry out in Vegas, and it's like they get up there and like, I'd like to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. You just got the blowjob award, honey.
Yeah, I don't think he...
yeah, that was...
Speaking of TV shows, my cousin Adam that was on out here, Raw Feed, his show got picked up, and it's called, I think, something, it's Are You Sam or Good Luck Sam or something with the word with Sam in it. Sophia Bush is the doctor, and her name's Sam or something. So he was in Toronto. He got stuck. He got stuck
it's
in...
It's about me, guys.
Yeah, and for like 2 months up there. After we talked to us, he went up there and he was there for like by himself. He said it sucked because of COVID protocols in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll have to get him back on when that show comes out.
They film a lot of stuff in Vancouver. That's like the big Hollywood in Canada.
I think this one was Toronto.
It was in Toronto? Okay.
So maybe they're looking for that big city feel because Toronto, they use a lot for like Chicago. Remember Wayne's World?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember, they were supposed to go to Chicago, but it was really Toronto they used.
Oh, it was?
For the city.
Well,
Dan Aykroyd, remember he was the...
Canadian.
The Muffler Man or whatever?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
King Muffler.
Dan Aykroyd was in that movie?
Oh, no,
Dan Aykroyd.
I'm thinking of Tommy Boy. Sorry, Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy.
Yeah, Tommy Boy. That's it. Have you seen that movie, Sam? Tommy Boy?
Yes. Do I remember what it's about? No.
Because you like those type of movies, Adam Sandler type.
Yeah,
buddy
I love
comedy
Adam Sandler.
Where they're driving across the country trying to save the company, making sales.
Yeah, I have no
idea. I don't
you never
know.
Saw it either?
Don't remember Tommy
no.
Boy? Tommy Boy is hilarious.
Let me look it up.
No.
His dad
I've only
married...
seen the scene where he goes, fat guy in a little coat. I've only seen that scene.
Rob Lowe is his new stepbrother. That was so funny.
I have no idea.
Yeah. He caught David Spade wanking it in the room.
kept calling him Spanky.
Yeah, I remember, but I don't remember. Like scenes like you guys are talking about.
What's your
favorite
baseball team?
That was like the Dumb and Dumber that vibe. I hate that. I don't like that. No.
You didn't like Dumb and
Dumber?
Dumber
was actually pretty funny, but I wonder if I watched it today, would I laugh as hard?
Mark,
you know, I laughed pretty hard when I watched it originally, but I think it's because we were on the Jim Carrey high.
94.
People watching it now are not on that high.
No, I am not on his. Mm-mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was just like over the top because he had come off of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, where he surprised everybody how hilarious that movie was. Courtney Cox was in that movie. People forget that.
What's a good comedy for anyone under 22? Is there anything out there? Like if you're under 22?
Yeah. Neighbors.
Have a funny bone.
Like, do you know like the classics like Waterboy or something
yes,
like that
of
with
course.
Adam Sandler?
Yeah, I love Adam. Adam Sandler is my, those are my movies.
Guys, look at this. This just showed up in my time hop. Look at this.
The Fonz.
Henry Winkler, my daughter and I met Henry Winkler, and Faith's like, don't do it. She's like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And I asked him, I said, can I see your Roy Orbison tattoo?
Because he hit on his butt.
Because it was on his ass.
That's how we got the idea to do all those tattoos on our...
Wait, he has a butt tattoo of Roy Orbison on Henry Winkler has a butt tattoo?
It's fake, but...
In the movie Waterboy,
Mama doesn't
know doesn't hurt her, and he pulls down his ass cheek.
I thought you meant it was real.
Roy Orbison tattooed to his ass.
What
were you
going to
ask me, Sam?
There's a comedy movie on Netflix or Hulu. No, Netflix. It's called The Mitchells vs. the Machines. And it's supposed to be
I have seen the previews for that. I've
not
seen
it's PG.
You?
I did. I watched it.
Is it funny?
Yeah, I think your kids would like it. It's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just looking up comedies, and that came up as like
it
a comedy
like an
movie.
Evil Lego character.
Yeah,
my kids are more into watching YouTube videos of people you will never know. But half these kids now, Eric, they have toy lines at Target. Have you ever heard of Diana and Roma? Diana and Roma. Mm-hmm. I thought for 2 years I thought it was Gianna and Roma. It's these two little siblings in Italy, these blonde girls.
The little boy
and
it's has
Diana
one.
And Roma. One's a boy, one's a girl. I thought it was about two little girls. No, Diana has her own freaking toy, her
Smart.
Own doll made of her.
Wow. That's all Target's
doing now. My 2-year-old knows who it is. That's crazy.
All right, so what's the code word going to be for this one?
Slapping
chickens.
Yeah,
slapping chicken slaps. Something like that.
Slapping breasts. Chicken breasts.
Slapping chicken breast.
Slap the chicken slap. Yeah, slappy, chicken slap.
Yeah, chicken slappies.
Chicken slap.
Something about chickens and slaps.
Okay,
that's what we're doing.
Chicken slap.
So I guess we'll let you go, Raw Feeders. I hope y'all had a great time because we went all around that one.
You never know where this Raw Feeds is going
to go
take
from
us.
Porn to
sex
death.
Sex and porn
sadness.
And death and
things are going to happen in your life.
That is life.
You can't let anything happen to them because then nothing's going to happen to them.
Yep.
Thanks, Dory. Life lessons for the graduates. Okay. Have a great day, Raw Feeders.
See
bye.
You guys.